Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 18 tonight. The book of Luke, chapter number 18. We have spent several weeks now, I believe we're on week number 7, dealing with the toxic believer and how they can cause some damage to the church. Not just to the church, but it can also go outside the church walls as well. And tonight we're going to be dealing with one that... I'll be honest with you, I've struggled with all of these, but I believe this one tonight is something that I struggled with earlier on in my life, and that is the arrogant person, or you can put in there, slash conceited person. And I remember as a young person, I used to think highly of myself. My family will testify to that. And I even, at a few point in time or another, I would say this: please don't hate me because I'm beautiful. That is an arrogant person. That is one who is conceited. I've also been told when, as I was younger, you know, if you were to give me a compliment, my head would swell up. And so some of my family members say, yeah, we usually have to carry a pin around with us. When Chad's head begins to swell, we'll just puncture his head and get him back to normal. So one of the things that I struggled with. But hopefully tonight, if this is something that you struggle with today, you can give this to the Lord. Luke 18, verse number 9 through 14 will be the verses that we'll be reading tonight. We'll be dealing specifically with the Pharisee and the publican tonight. And we got a few other verses that we're going to go to in the Word of God. So let's begin reading verse number 9. It says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they are righteous and despise others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican." Now, I want you to pay attention for the next two verses in this and how the Pharisee really began to show his true colors, what he thought about himself and what he thought about others as well. Verse number 11 says this. It says, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Let's have a word of prayer this evening. God, I just want to thank you for, first of all, allowing us to be here tonight, to be able to meet in a nice warm place, so away from the elements of the weather that's out there. God, I pray that you just watch over us as we go through your word tonight. I pray that this would also be a time of uplifting, but Lord, I also pray it'll be a time of examining our hearts. And Lord, I pray for the ones who are not able to be here tonight. Lord, I specifically think of Mrs. Lidget tonight, who has been struggling with the pain in her knee. And Lord, with the fluid being drained today, it has not relieved her pain. So God, I pray that you just begin to work in her body. That you just bring healing to her. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. So as we continue to go on in our series tonight, unfortunately, there are many ways a believer can become toxic. And at times we stand by idle, letting things happen, when aware of situations that can be dangerous, especially in a church. We need not to sit idle when those things happen. But here's what we need to do when certain situations begin to rise in a church. You know, let's say for an example, we dealt with a liar. We dealt with somebody who was a pretender. And instead of sitting by and watching things happen and not doing anything, the best thing that you and I can do is this: be in prayer for the situation that is going on around you. Because I like what Barney Fife says: you have to nip it in the bud. You truly do. I love that saying. But we got to take care of those situations. And the reason why I say go to prayer first, because you want every situation to be handled correctly. And you don't want to begin to handle the situation yourself, or go off and begin to spread gossip, as we talked about a few months ago, and because we all know that a person who is a gossiper is one who brings the toxic levels in the church even higher. So we don't want to go off on those things. We want to pray, God, please give us wisdom. Show us how you want us to handle this situation, especially when it comes to dealing with somebody who is an arrogant person, conceited, stuck on themselves. Prayer is the thing that we need to do. So this evening, we will deal with a person who is arrogant, conceited, and at times can be very difficult to deal with these things. But yes, there are believers who think very highly of themselves. I gave you an illustration a little bit about myself as I was growing up, and I want to tell you this. That was during the time that I was saved. And I haven't lost my salvation, so don't get me wrong when I said that time that I was saved. That happened at a younger time in my life when I already had the salvation, and I was still an arrogant, still conceited person. And so believers are people that can fall in this category. But what it really boils down to, and it was shown to me at a younger age and began to make itself more real to me the older that I have gotten, is this. What makes a person arrogant? What makes a person conceited? That is pride. Pride. That's the issue there. Here in this story, we read of a Pharisee, and we read about a publican, and you can see right off, and it's very clear and obvious, who the arrogant one is. People are this way, think that they are the most important people upon the planet. You can walk in any room, and you can almost figure out right away, in any type of setting, who the arrogant, conceited person is. For example, I won't even go even into a church setting, but you folks know that I like to work out on occasions. I don't work out as much as I used to. It's no longer my life. It doesn't consume me. I have found out the things that I said a few weeks ago that I built up are now going south on me, which is fine. I'm in a happy time of my life, and so I enjoy that. I enjoy sitting around eating cookies, potato chips, and things of that nature. Those are good. They're healthy things. But anyway, you can figure out as soon as you walk into the gym who the most arrogant man that is there. And that is a guy who puts himself right in front of the mirror and begins to look at every single muscle that he has as he's just lifting those dumbbells up and begins to flex his muscle. And he's just up there and just looking, hey, man, I'm looking fine. I'm a fine specimen. And you can just see it upon their face. And those are, I'll be honest with you, those are guys that I try to stay away from for this reason. Because that was me. I was a guy who had a room full of weights and a room full of mirrors to see how that I looked. And so I can easily identify those people inside the gym. And what they're doing is saying, hey, look at me. Look how important I am. Look at what I've done to my body. They're wanting to get you to notice who they are. And then they begin to think that they're the most important person on the planet. I kid you not. I was there about 2-3 months ago. And I mind my own business. I try to do those things. I'm there just for a brief moment of time. I rarely make chit-chat. That's just not who I am. And I try to get in and out 35, 45 minutes. And if I'm there for 46 minutes, I'm thinking, what a waste of time. But anyway, I was on the side of a guy who was behind me. Then there's another guy right in front of this guy. And mind you, there's a full set of mirrors just overtaking this gym. And the guy behind me was very irate because he could not see himself in the mirror because the guy in front of him was blocking his view. And he begins to curse and to swear at this individual. And I thought that I was going to see, I kid you not, I thought I was going to see a fight break out. And I'm thinking to myself, how vain, how arrogant, how conceited you are because you could not see your little biceps for the little bit of time that you were in front of this mirror. I'm thinking to myself, get a clue and get a life. Life is not all about you. You're not the most important person on the planet. There are important people, but you're not the most important one. And here with arrogant, conceited people, they also see that they have never-ending abilities. Never-ending abilities. Well, I can accomplish anything and everything. You know who considers themselves with somebody with a lot of abilities? I want you to think about this. We go to a basketball game, football game, volleyball game. There's one guy or one lady out there who's coaching this. And they're making the calls. They actually put in all the time to train these individuals to go out and to participate in the sports. But you always got somebody in the crowd who thinks that they have more knowledge of the coach. And they spew off and begin to say, man, I can do this better. Here's what I would do. I wouldn't do it this way. I would go this way. Okay, if you're so good, if you have such great abilities, then get your tush out of the stand and go coach this team to make it better. See, they become arrogant people, and they think they have unending abilities. Some can even go as far as convincing their own family of their great importance. Usually the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. If mom and dad have such a high view of themselves, what do you think the children are going to think about themselves? They're going to be proud. They're going to boast about themselves. They're going to boast about their abilities. Matter of fact, there's no disabilities that they have. They can do everything. And they become arrogant people. So usually the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. What really needs to happen and what really needs to take place is this. There needs to be a great humbling from the Lord. And I will tell you this. I have had a lot of humble pie in my life. And I thank God for those moments. Because it's allowed me to see, hey, Chad, life is not all about you. Stop putting yourself first. Stop thinking so highly of yourself. And first of all, I want you to think about how great I am, talking about the Lord. And then I want you to see the individuals that you are surrounded with. But we don't see those individuals that we're surrounded with for this reason. We're like the guy at the gym, looking in the mirror. And all we see is us. Nobody else. That's an arrogant person. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to see some more areas in Scripture, what the Word of God has to say about arrogancy. So 1 Samuel chapter 2 in verse number 3, it says this. I'll give you a few seconds to get there. I know I'm kind of rambling this off rather quickly tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse number 3 says this. It says, talk no more exceeding proudly. Meaning, put off that, let's go back to our Sunday school a couple weeks ago. Put off your former conversation. Stop thinking so highly of yourself. Stop talking so good about yourself. So talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. You know, you can tell a person who they are by their conversation. My wife has taught me something. I appreciate this so much. She has taught me when people call, and here's what normally happens. Here's a conversation. Hey, how's it going? You doing okay? How's the family? I give all those answers. Hey, what's going on in this person's life? Hey, what's going on in that person's life? And what has happened, they made that conversation about me, and I fall for that probably 99.9% of the time, and I begin to talk about how good everything's going, how good I am, and how good this person is, and how good that person is. But what she has taught me, and I appreciate this so much, she goes, Chad, people are taking the time to call you and ask you how you're doing. How about you set aside yourself for a little bit and begin to ask them questions? And say, hey, how are you doing? Hey, I heard you were sick last week. Are you feeling a little better? Hey, I heard you're going through this in your life. Is there anything I can do? I tell you what, that has opened my eyes. Because every time I'm in a conversation, that usually comes out of my mouth. Now, I'm not 100% perfect at it, nor will I be, but I try to practice those things. So, talk no more exceeding proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. Conceitedness, as we continue to move on, conceitedness is a problem that can become toxic. Not only in a work environment, and that's normal, because you're usually, work environments are like a revolving door. You always got new people coming in, the old people are coming out, and usually the new people are a little bit younger, and they think, hey, you've been here 20 years, and I'm just here for 5 months, and I can do this job a lot better than you can. That's the society that we live in, and we got people who are, think highly of themselves. But conceitedness is a problem that can become toxic, not only in a work environment, not only in the family, because in a work environment, you can kind of push yourself away from people for 8 hours. You can probably go and try to find something else to be busy that takes you away from them. In a family, I see this take place when there's a person who's conceited or arrogant, their aurora, that's about them. I see people when they walk in a room, usually two or three people begin to walk out. And why is that? Because they don't want to be around it, because it's toxic. So not only is it toxic in a work environment or the family, but I want you to think about this. An arrogant person or a person who is full of conceit, who is so prideful, who thinks about themselves all the time, will become toxic to the church. They will become toxic to the church. Typically, arrogant people are found, think about this, they're found by themselves. Why? Because nobody wants to do anything with them. I mean, think about it. Why would you want to be around somebody who's constantly talking about themselves and belittling everybody else around them? Because that's what's going on. That's what an arrogant, prideful, conceited person does. They boast about themselves and they belittle everybody else. And so you usually find those people being by themselves. But there are some occasions they will be surrounded by other people of like-mindedness. You usually find those being surrounded with arrogant people. Turn your Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8 tonight. We'll read verse number 13. It says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride," and it doesn't stop there, does it? What's the next word? "And arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate." There is a lesson to be learned here, and that is the Lord's thinking of an arrogant person. I'm just going to be real profound with this, so write this down. It isn't so lovely. Okay? So if this is the thought of what he thinks of arrogant people, maybe it's a path that we should desire to turn away from. If you find yourself being all lonely because of your pride, conceit, and arrogancy, maybe you ought to, this time, one and only, take a look in the mirror and say, what's wrong with me? What am I doing? Why aren't I surrounded by people? Why is it every time I walk in a room, somebody gets up and walks away? That would be the time to look at yourself in the mirror. Going back to this story here in the book of Luke, chapter number 18, these two men went up into the temple to pray. I'm going to stop here just a little bit, because here in about 4 weeks, I know you folks might get tired of hearing about it. I don't care. I'm excited about it. We're actually going to be able to see some of the temples. They're not fully constructed like they were back then, but I've been sharing some pictures with him as time gets closer, because I'm trying to get him excited, because we got a 12-hour plane flight that we got to sit by each other the whole entire time. And we're trying to download movies so that we can watch on our tablet and his tablet, so we don't have to talk to each other for 12 hours. But I sharing some pictures with him the other day, and he noticed that some of these temples that were built, the pillars, and we talked about this in our discipleship class Monday night, not all of them are standing upright. These are original pillars that were built during that time. Some are standing upright, some are just laying flat down, some are leaning up against the others. And so when I see the word temple in the Word of God now, I have a different vision than what I ever had before. So these two men, they went up to the temple to do one thing. They went up to pray. Isn't it amazing in Scripture? You see a majority of things that are being done are around prayer. I'm still baffled at the fact that disciples who was around Jesus for three and a half years, they didn't ask Jesus, "Lord, Jesus, teach us how to teach." Here's what Jesus was asked by the disciples. "Lord, teach us to pray." And so now you hear and you see some other two men, they go up and they pray. I just wanted to emphasize that a little bit because I want to share with you, not only is prayer important corporately, but I really believe that you ought to have that private time with the Lord. And we'll continue to go on. I'm sorry, I about got jiggy with it. I thought it was funny. Anyway, so here we go. And one was going to show how arrogant he was. And by this, he goes on, he says, "The Pharisee stood," verse number 11, "and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican.'" See what he did? He boasted about himself, and what I talked about a little while ago, he belittled the man that he went up to the temple to pray with. You see what a prideful person does? Belittles people that he's with. So as he goes on and begins to demonstrate how arrogant what he was, the other was going to demonstrate what you and I need to demonstrate all the time, and that is this: what a humble person should look like. We have a hard time knowing what a humble person should look like. Because let's be honest with ourselves. We walk around and we think highly of ourselves. We might not show it outwardly, but inside we're thinking, "Man, I'm a great person. Nobody's got nothing on me. I'm far more knowledgeable than they are. I have better looks than they have. I dress a lot better than they do. I have a better car. My house is a lot better. Why, they're worthless to me." That's how we think without anybody even knowing those things. And that's why it's hard to see what a humble person should look like. In the prayer of the Pharisee, immediately we see how unashamed he is of himself. And he begins to belittle others. He took his time of prayer, and he did one thing. He began to condemn others. You know, in the book of Matthew, we have a model on how we're to pray. And that is this: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He didn't go into prayer that way. Let's read this again. He says, "I prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as others do." He didn't go in and say, "God, man, you're the greatest God I've ever known. I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for being such a blessing to me." No, he goes in and he begins to condemn others for their actions without taking into consideration of his sin or his wrongdoing that he has committed. This is what arrogancy does. It allows you to put others down, and in the process, you begin to build yourself up. What man needs to do when going to God in prayer is this: a confession of your own faults. Why is that? Because you're going to answer to God for how you live. I am not going to go to, God's not going to come to me and say, "Chad, you're responsible for how Jeff's living." No, Jeff's going to answer to God for his own way of living. And that's where the Pharisee was wrong. He wasn't concerned about himself. He was more concerned about making himself look good and making everybody else around him look bad. So he missed out on a great opportunity here. Go to God, confess your own faults rather than the faults of others. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 13 tonight. Isaiah chapter 13. And in verse number 11, I like this verse. It says, "And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for the iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. The Lord still has nothing to do with the arrogant man. And here's what happens. He will cause them to cease. There will be an end to the man who continues to think highly of himself. And I'll be honest with you, I've learned in life that there's always someone out there who can do things better than I can. I know that for a fact. I know somebody can, someone's probably better looking than me, that's obvious. There's somebody who's going to dress better than me, there's somebody who's going to preach way better than I do. That's totally obvious. Which is okay, because life isn't about me. The Pharisee goes on and begins to brag about how often he fasts. Verse number 12, it says, I fast twice in a week. Then he goes on and says, I give tithes of all that I possess. Begins to brag about how often he fasts. And let me say this, when fasting, it should be kept to yourself. It's not something that you go around and say, hey, man, I fast 2-3 times a week. And you little publican, you don't even fast twice a week. Well, how dare you, you little heathen? He's boasting himself up. Fasting is a time where it's really just you and the Lord. By the way, fasting and prayer in the New Testament go hand in hand. I'll never forget the days that I was with Brother Phil Prettyman, where we spent 3 days and 3 nights fasting. And it wasn't a fast like you would normally think of just totally cutting everything off. But we had crackers, and we had, what do you call those things? Oat bars, things that horses eat. I mean, it tasted like horse food. And tomato juice. That's what we had for 3 days. And realistically, what took place in that time was just absolutely amazing. Fasting is a time to allow God to work in your heart or an area in your life that you desire direction from. It's time set aside just for that. I remember as a young person growing up, Dad would leave, it seemed like maybe 2-3 times a year. And he would go up to Spirit Lake, Iowa. Our grandmother had a camper up there. I don't know if they were caretakers of that place. I can't remember. There are some things I don't remember. But I do remember Dad going up there, and he would go by himself. He would go and do two things, fast and pray. Now, as a young person, I didn't know what was going on. I just knew he went up and he fasted and prayed. And I remember him coming back on a few occasions where he just had a different look on his face, a look of joy, and a look of, hey, I got a direction where God is wanting me to go. I do remember those things about that. Why is that important for me to say? Because it was done because he's wanting God to work in his heart and give him an answer in a direction he was wanting to go. Turn your Bibles. We're getting ready to be done here. To Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 2. Now, this verse here is a verse that really should be helpful to us. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 2, it says this. It says, let another man praise thee. Ah. So it's not up to us to praise ourselves, is it? Because here in Proverbs, it's saying, let another man praise thee. And then it goes on, it says, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. So where does the praise and the building up of oneself comes from? Someone else. Someone else. We shouldn't be going around boasting about ourselves. It's not our job to do so. And so often we get caught up in this. Most of you folks know I love playing basketball. It's one of my all-time favorite sports, next to golf. I don't know if golf is a sport, though. I mean, you're just hitting it with a club and chasing a ball around. I don't know what's... Well, it could be a sport because you're doing a lot of chasing. But anyway, I can remember on several different occasions, I would get jealous of hearing about Chris's younger brother and how he played basketball. He did this and did that. And here I am. I'm a grown man. I'm like, well, come watch me play. See how good I am. Why was I doing that? Because I'm boasting about myself. There was a few times that she did come and watch me play, and she laughed her head off. You can't even run. Well, I'm playing with older guys now. It's like a fast walk. That's how we play basketball. It's just fast. But anyway, we should be boasting about ourselves. Praise should be coming from the lips of another person. Also, if all you are wanting in life is to be recognized and praised, and here's this, you're truly missing out on what God has for you. Why? Because life has become all about you, and you're not concerned about with what God wants for you. This publican man had it right, because when arriving in the temple, here's what took place. Verse number 13, it says, and a publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here's what this man had right. He knew he was so unworthy to even be in the temple and then to even look to God. And he cries out with these words, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, the Pharisee, he couldn't even see this because he was talking about how good he was when he was belittling everybody else. He hung his head in shame, for he recognized who he was. We should desire to have a heart of a humble person, not a heart of a person who thinks so highly of himself. You know, I'm going to say this because this needs to be said. I don't know why God put this in my thoughts last night, but this is where we're at right now. You know why some believers never walk an aisle? For this reason. Because they can't recognize that they have a wicked heart and that they do wrong. That's what keeps a lot of God's people from walking down this aisle and laying it at the altar. And then they see other people come up and they lay it at the altar and they're thinking, see, I'm not like that individual. I don't have to go up there because I don't do nothing wrong. When in fact we do. One last verse for you tonight. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12. Book of Romans chapter 12. Verse number 3, it says this. It says, for I say, through the grace of given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I'll close out with a few thoughts here tonight. The arrogant believer will become toxic to the church family. A man full of pride, conceit, is a man that people generally will steer clear of. Man's ego can get in the way. That's another word for an arrogant, conceited person. It can ruin himself. It can ruin his family. It can ruin his position or place at work. And it can also ruin his place of worship. So with that being said, I'm going to close with this. We should have a shelf right outside those entry doors. And on that shelf, it should have a sign that says this: leave your ego outside. Because it's not wanted in here. Why? Because it can be toxic to a body of believers. Here is a problem with the arrogant man. They are unable to see God clearly for who he is because he is all about himself. An arrogant man, especially in a church, is toxic to that body. And there's no room for it. Amen? Let's bow our heads, have our eyes closed, and we'll be dismissed in order of prayer. Lord, we are grateful tonight that we're able to come to you. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to see this area of an arrogant individual. Lord, in a sense, God, I felt like I described myself tonight. And Lord, I know I've struggled with this. And Lord, I know I still do at times. So God, I pray that you would continue to help me to overcome this area in my life to where I don't become toxic to a body of believers. God, I pray that you would watch over us as we leave from here, give us safety. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.